together with her and the kids. Any media persons that are here, as well as those other partners who always come and observe what we are doing, you are very welcome this morning. I do have an apology that the minister is on the way. She has been attending the cabinet meeting. I raised this even without us going to the actual program where there would be an item provided for apologies, because she is very key to actually participating in this type of meeting. So I wanted to alert the members that I don't say she is late, but I'm making a point that she's on the way. But because we are under pressure, time is really running against us, since we did not do any work the other hours we were given last week. So we still have to make up for that time. I will therefore request the honorable members, who are actually very important in this decision-making, that we start with all the other matters, that is your agenda, your apologies, any other matter that pertains to this, not only any other matter, but the one that pertains to attendance and participation in this meeting. I do want to acknowledge that the Deputy Minister is here after a very long time. She's very much welcome. I think then with me, I don't see properly where my documents are supposed to be, but I do know that routinely we're dealing with the agenda or the program of today, which I hope and believe and being optimistic that members do have it. We will look into it just now, and I think the first one should be, come again? Yes. No, before we reach there, the Smolanyana House rules, that will deal with the apologies, and then maybe before apologies, let me finalize my welcome so that indeed we go to the apologies. But the welcome will include even those who are not here. Honorable members, we know that we have been away, home and away. I don't know whether home in terms of where you come from or home in terms of parliament, because you seem to be having two homes, home and away. During those times, sometimes our program as members of this portfolio committee is somehow disturbed. So I appreciate your tolerance, because when we are said to be going into the house, even if we have not finished, that call means that we must take our positions in parliament, in the house. When we are then not yet finished with what we're supposed to be doing here. But both these are very primarily our responsibility, and we share our time amongst it. When I welcome to you, I also want to say there is a sitting today. But I think we will also be, if we can't finish, we will have to be approaching the those in charge to allow us at least to finish. But I don't know whether we have not finished by then. But all my what I have today is dependent on how members play their role in their oversight. because it is upon them how this should be done and how I should guide it going forward. I hope we will try to ensure that our input is a little bit limited to accommodate the small town time we have. Remember also that we have to adopt our budget. We are under pressure to submit it so that we are part and part of the deliberations, discussions, debate, and then the approval thereof. So that is my plea, and I welcome the members, and I also want to ensure that I always have my trust in them, and I've been enjoying working with them. To the department, we expect to finish all what is in your program today, because obligatory we need to have that report. So also the members of the administration that is led by the secretary, they did work over the weekend to scrutinize what we have gone through over time, so that when the presentations are being made here, we are clear that we had gone through this. This was omitted and so on. But I think that work is going to contribute positively to our full-time report. But I apologize for preventing their quality time over this weekend. We'll compensate them when time allows. With those words, I would want, therefore, to say you are, all of you are very welcome. And from this point, we will go to the formalities of allowing the secretary to actually read us the apologies. But the honorable members will also go back to the welcoming, to the introductory, because I am not very much formally, but I've heard even in the New York Road News that there are changes. If there are changes, then of new people that we don't know, or others occupying new positions, that will be raised with us. Thank you very much. Can we proceed with that? The proceed with the apologies.
Good morning, honorable members, the deputy minister, and the officials from the department. I have only one apology.
Honorable minister, you know that as a chair, I'm really, really, I apologize to you if this irritates you. I don't want the other activities to be taking place when we are actually in the meeting. You will bear with me. I wouldn't like these people reading something and so on and so on. It just makes me to lose concentration. If there's something you want to talk about, please take a little bit of a leave and come back. Thank you. Please continue.
Thanks, Jefferson. I have one apology from Honorable Fana Merve, who indicated that she will be attending the PC on Women on the Presidency. She won't be with us today. She also serves in that committee.
If there's no space, I think those who are dealing with logistics will be able to do that. And if there are honorable members who are now arriving, we will as well find chairs to allow them to do so. I can see that the young lady standing there. I think if there is an issue about chairs, please, nosuko uzame noba intonu, even if unchonza kwa next door. But to have someone standing in a meeting is also not probably parliamentary. Oh, thank you very much. Please take your seat, but don't go away with it. Just take it for now. So there are those apologies. The one for the minister is that I have already forwarded it. And she was actually saying she is sending a written one to ensure that she is not seen as not regarding this a platform as an important one for her. Come again. You will be allowed to do so. You will be allowed to do so. Now, can we then, are we having a, taking up an issue, or are we accepting the apologies that have been put forward? Honorable Marcus is approving? Yes. Can I see a second hand on apologies? Ume Masango is doing the same. Thank you very much for that item. We are done with that item. We do know that under normal circumstances, the minister is responsible for the actual product that they are bringing in terms of the APPs. 2018-2019, which are being presented on the 2nd May 2018. But I think I must put this to the members that can we allow the department to start so that the minister, because she also has to leave at some stage, so that when she comes, the department will halt and she will take over. Because I don't see us being able to wait. And I think it was also as per discussions and negotiations between the department and the portfolio committee, myself in particular, and the secretary, that they wish that we start with the department before the other entities, which I agreed. So can we allow them to start? Honorable members?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Can I see the presenter? If there, do you have anything, Spongilenga, to Funuipel?
No, Chair. It's just that maybe I thought that questions that we asked last week needed to be answered before we start. Remember, we had a pertinent question of signing off. If the document has been signed off, then we can be at liberty and legally so to continue with it.
Oh, I think what we are supposed to do is to actually listen to the presentation, so that we don't want to start the meeting by the last meeting. The issue of what type of documents, I've been clearly orientated to that. That our duty is to get a document from the department. Then we critique the department, and then we can tell them that this is not there, this is there. So those questions will get accommodated in the process of moving forward.
No, I thought in your introduction, your talk with the minister, perhaps the minister has taken you on board on the issues that happened last week.
That's
between
fine.
Yourself and the chair. So I was saying, if maybe there is something, you are at liberty, chair, to inform us as this portfolio committee that this is where we are now, and then we proceed.
That's very important. Thank you very much. I'm sorry if I misread your input. The issue is that sometimes one must own up. Because I think our position could have been, if they have a wrong document that is lacking something, our duty was to say, when are they bringing the right one? So this, I took it up with the minister after all the processes, because even the legal opinion that we were seeking seemed to be their own. That it's upon them to bring the best document to us and not to acknowledge when they are already here that the document is not correct. And that in that process, as a portfolio committee, we allowed this debate instead of saying, if this signing is not in line with law, when are you giving us the right one? So that question is now having been answered, that the legal opinion is that it's not our duty, it's their document. And when we find the document not in good order, it's for us to request for the one that is in order. And secondly, that Umar Mumalkhas, as an honorable member in that meeting, made to say succession law allows or is relevant that if something was to be submitted and was signed by the previous executive authority, the work is not reversed. It continues, and the new executive authority takes over and responsibility for all what is in that document. There is no time when we can say it's not answered because there is someone who owns it. Even if they have still stolen this building and submitted that, this new minister will have stolen the building and will talk to that. So the minister is already here, but I think ours is to listen to them today that this is how they have managed the issues that made us not to proceed. But as I was still actually articulating that, Mayor Susan, you are very welcome. And we know that you will soon be leaving. We have done all the other matters that can be done. And now time has been that the department is ready to work with you. But we could have been very happy if you will lead us in your political overview in the whole, so that we take it when they actually are following you, having actually shown us where you're going. And I think the question that was coming up was a question that says, we didn't proceed last time. Have you now been able to sort those matters so that we are not stuck in the process? So I was trying to articulate that we spoke, and that all the other actions that we were requested to do pointed to one thing, that you are solely responsible for giving us the right document to work on. So thank you very much for coming. We are ready for you this time. Thank you very much. Can I give the minister to take over?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for being late. I'm running from teenage to here. I'm not young anymore. I thought my 100-meter sprinter is still relevant. Send Cookie, the Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson, and thank you very much for this opportunity. As the department and the entities, subsequent to last week, we've gone back and relooked at issues raised by the committee, but also come to a point that indeed what the committee said, we as coming in to say we'll have to proceed with what is here, but also understanding, as you've indicated, that there's a succession plan and law, we will have to abide by that. So I want to say what is here, it's what we are going to present, which was given to the Portfolio Committee, and we take full responsibility. With whatever challenges are there, we will take ownership. But Chairperson, before I start...
A minute. Honourable members, are we violating anything if we allow the entities to be here?
No.
Yeah, because they are actually falling under what the minister is going to say. So it's an advantage to have a bigger room so that they sit here. Thank you very much. We can proceed.
Actually, because the minister is going to leave, if there is something that she also wants to say on the entity, she can say it now because she's going to leave. By the time we deal with them already, we know what's happening.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks to the committee. Can I also, Chairperson, before one can say anything, make sure that just inform the committee that the acting CEO of SASSA has requested to go back to her previous responsibility. And I think the committee is aware that she was the regional manager in KZN. And she had requested to go back. She submitted a letter which requesting to go back to KZN. And what we have done, we have accepted that. And we have an acting CEO who is also the CIO of SASSA, because we could not afford to have a vacuum. And the acting CEO is Abraham. Oh, Abraham, not Abraham. Abraham, as per the Bible. Abraham Mahlangu. Ngicela usukume babone so that they can see who's the new acting CEO. He's the CEO, as Chairperson, we've indicated that we are looking at the challenge of vacancies, including of filling.
What is the CIO?
Chief Information Officer. Yilaba iqophesha yabadila ngalezinto. Those who are IT people or information technology. So he is the CIO, Chief Information Officer of SASSA. Hence, that is why we thought at head office, it's important for us to allow him or to get someone who's already within the structure of SASSA at head office to act. That's why he is here today, but not as CIO, but as a Chief Executive Officer of SASSA. So I thought first I need to introduce him to the committee. So Pearl has gone back to the province to her respective position. So we have him today. Chairperson, I want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. The way we're going to deal with the matter, we are going to go through the various APPs which were supposed to be presented to the committee last week. But I also requested the chair that if we can start with the department, so that I'm around when you deal with the departmental APP, and then the entities will follow, because I think the biggest presentation is the department, so that at least I'm around when the department present. So that's where we are. Coming to the issue of the entities and ourselves as a department and our budget, we've looked at it, we have endorsed it, all the teams are here who are going to have to account. If there are questions which arises, the different components are here. They will be able to present that. And the other one, Chair, up front, which I want to indicate is that what we have here as SAS, as DSD, well, she has an English into. As the DSD, what we will be presenting today will be presenting what we have here, but also as per the provisional structure. Provisional, which is the structure of 2015, which I raised with yourselves, because the budgeting and allocation has been done in terms of that structure. So the work which is here today, it's done in terms of the 2015, not the fully approved structure. That's the structure which we'll be using today to make our presentation as the department. So that's where we are, Chairperson. I think the acting, this is a Hollywood. The acting DG will take us through in the DSD presentation, unless there's any issue which I must clarify, Chair.
We welcome your presentation.
Chair, I'm with the deputy minister.
Okay.
Don't say you are an afterthought.
Okay.
You are not.
Wait.
No. From my side, you're not an afterthought. No. We had discussed it, Chair. We had discussed it even before coming here. Is that I came in running. So I really apologize to my colleague for not immediately acknowledging because I'm trying to take shortcuts. My apology, Deputy. You are not an afterthought. My apology.
But we did, Minister, to welcome her, and we really did invite her into this meeting and welcomed her as well. But Honourable Minister, probably what was an outstanding matter was the issues that we ironed out, and we don't want to go back. But we understand this provision as saying when there are outstanding matters where you feel you needed to reduce your capacity in terms of officials, or you want to increase, you will propose some amendments so that we are now assured that what we short of will be addressed. What we are in excess of will be addressed. I think we should allow the department to proceed. But anyway, there are also political matters that we really would want the minister to take note of and to continuously talk to the department to address. The issue of the way the department will remember that when we were dealing with the transformation of SASA in particular, this transition, we agreed that there will be strong monitoring of the processes, out there when this is being implemented. Honorable Minister, it does appear that there are challenges, either with the system or with the attitude of our officials out there, particularly the role that social development at that level needs to strengthen each monitoring and evaluation of what has been agreed upon. There are long queues out there to access grants or whatever service, let me not be specific, or grant or whatever, but you can phone any station today. You will find people saying we're here at 7. This time is about 14 hours. But if you continue discussing, that person will say, I've come 3 times, 4 times without assistance. In trying to intervene, somehow find what's going on, in Bizana in particular, they said their system is low. When the person said, I've come 5 days without assistance, now it's the 5th day and I'm still very far in the queue. I will still go back without being attended. This manager, who was very arrogant in any way, with myself having introduced my role, why I phone, she further said that it is with their computers are always down and there's nothing they can do with that. Secondly, that the system is slow and she won't know because she's in Bizana and this is taking place in Pretoria, SARS and the Home Affairs. So she's not in control. And I said, even if they come 10 times, you are not worried because this is the system. Then I actually asked the owner of the phone to give me a number, which means one would say, Nam, mama, I've been here. But at the same time, the little loopholes in following what the judgment has been to us and yourselves on the issue of bank and the process of extension, the Sasa people are not, as we said, I think this was very loose, as Mamu Susan, the part that says encouraged to take up banks. They are not encouraging, they are forcing them to. They really force them that if you don't have a new, what you call a new bank account, we are not going to attend to. And then they are spreading. This one is formal. Inuza Hill Municipality was having an IDP outreach, and Sasa people were actually addressing those meetings, saying the department has not, Sasa has not appointed the pay points people, whatever contract. So therefore, there will be no pay points. People must take up bank accounts for them to access. And this was done in more than 10 meetings, up until the mayor had to phone me and say, are you there? We would want to clarify something. Your people here are telling these people, and people are angry because they want to go to their pay points, and they insist. But I think somewhere, there is a link that continues to say, those people who are not bankable, those people who could not open accounts, and they were given an entity known as Sasa, they are now indirectly being taken back to the banks, and they are not informing them that they will be charged to do so. So we appeal to the minister sincerely that for us to regain confidence of the people we serve in this portfolio committee, we don't only need the minister to say something in the press conference, but there must be an awareness that the department takes to these, especially PE, East London, to go there to those, and OR Tambo, to go to these people to say, I don't know others, but honorable members will assist because they have constituency offices, to say, let's have something that says there is an extension. SAPO will go to pay points to supply their cards while people are receiving grants. That's what we were schooled about, and that's what we preach. So I wanted to, on this political area, before the minister go, because what is going to be presented is what is written, is what we have been doing. But in particular, this transition, and for us to be bold enough to actually emphasize what you as a department, as well as the court, have agreed. Not people to listen halfway to what the judgment is, to what the minister has pronounced, and begin to do other things that confuse our people. So if members want to make an input on this one, I just wanted this to be part of what this portfolio committee feels need to be corrected and to be vigorously attended to. I've got the hand of Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I thank you, Minister, for your presentation. I was going to ask the question from a different angle, but I believe what the Chair has actually said locates the question I was wanting to ask, because then if there has been initiatives that are saying people must go and open bank cards, which we believed was a something that opens for people to make their own to make their own decisions about their money. I mean, if it's closer for a person to go to a bank and get money there, and Sasa is supporting that person in terms of the bank charges, that should not be a problem, I don't believe. But if it is being said in such a way that it says if you don't open a bank card, then you won't get your money because there will be no pay points, then that's another issue altogether. But the question I was going to ask, Chair, is if that links then to the reports that say that the minister has actually halted the PayPoints procurement with the court, because then it plays so readily into that narrative that says that people have to open bank cards or else they will not get their money, and then the minister goes and halts the procurement of the PayPoint service provider. But Chair, I would like us to still leave the opportunity open for beneficiaries, depending on where they are located, to actually go and open accounts in the banks, to actually go get money from the PayPoints, to actually go get money from the merchants, because that is what I believe the law is saying, that people must be given a fair opportunity to do what they would like and to get their money from where they would like to get it, and not be forced to do one thing and not the other, as it were. That is how I understand the law to be saying about how the beneficiaries should get their grants, Chair. Thanks. So my question does still stand to the Honourable Minister to say, has this got to do anything with the halting of the contract to getting a new service provider for the cash pay points, because the time is running out. If this is the case, we need to know this. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Greetings to our Minister and Deputy Minister. No, I want to... it's disappointing, Chair, what they are saying. As a portfolio committee, we invited all the provinces to understand the plan as was presented by the department and SASSA. We call all the regions to come and account to us whether the people are going to continue with the pay points and so on. They admitted that they are going to continue until, it was going to continue. But now if we are hearing that now they must go to the bank, because that was our concern as a committee, to say that if we take the beneficiaries to continue using the banks, and they are going to be charged, because they indicated that at the moment they are not going to subsidize, those charges. So it's a problem. I think it's something that needs an urgent attention, Honourable Minister. Because really, we can't believe that our people are going to be, pushed to the banks, commercial banks, because these are beneficiaries. They are not working. Their charge is in the bank. If there is no subsidization of the beneficiaries, I don't think we need to continue with pushing them in the bank. They must go to the bank if they wish so, not to be pushed. And I think also the response of that official to our chairperson, really, it's really unacceptable. It needs to be followed up, because they don't understand Batsopile to put people first. Even if you are not the chairperson, because you were phoning, he was supposed to attend you the way that we are going to listen to you and understand, because you can't shift the responsibility, You can even, you can't really shift the responsibility to say it's offline. What has been done? What has it done when it was always been offline? No, Chair, we are not happy the way they are treating our people, especially the poor people.
I will then allow the minister to respond, but I can assure you, my friend, that I really went to this office where people were being chased away, because others had newly born babies. They were registering for the first time. They were there, and then I was told that that there's something you can look into in that office. Because others were saying, see, Shogeland. So I think you will have to do something about that office. And this actually problem of people having to wait all day long, hungry, being left by transport. I think there should be an indication earlier on that we won't reach this one. So you better make a plan now that we are not coming to you. The number is almost in, so that you can try find a way back home. So it's your turn, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say that up front, I apologize for whatever happened in the dispensation of the money to our people, disbursement of money to our people, especially our beneficiaries, because those are our people, and I think we all understand their condition. I just want to, Chairperson, start clarify where we are, and also to the committee, there is no confusion. It's done deliberately, because there are people who want to sabotage us and who don't want to see this process being successful. One, indeed, there is a suspension. We've lodged with the court. There's nothing we are doing which is illegal. We suspended the tender of the 2.5 million people's payment. We did that because there were challenges. When we identify challenges, we cannot just watch them and fold our arms, because that was going to make us to be in court forever. We want to get out of the courts. We want to run SASSA without being managed by the courts. I want to clearly define that. But also we do that within the court order, because the courts, if you were in court when they issued the last order, I went there. I, for one, I realized that we have a challenge, and the court cannot continue being frustrated by us. So we've got to pull up our socks and make sure we do the right thing. There were challenges, I'm not going to go into detail, in the process of the tender. The tender was issued, there were challenges. So we had an option of having identified those challenges, ignoring them, continuing as if we have not identified problems. So I think it's correct when you identify a problem, you act on it. You don't say, because I'm in court, I'm not going to address it, and burden the court with things which you can correct. So that's the purpose. If you look at, as I indicated, we filed the suspension on the 23rd of March, am I right? On the 23rd of March, pointing out, why are we doing that? We've also filed our monthly report on Monday. It further explains, further endorses the suspension. And when are we going to go back to the court again to deal with the matter? So all those are in the papers. And I must also say, we are mindful. We are aware of the time factor. We are aware. And we really want to comply with the court. We're not looking for an extension from the court, because we are saying we want to comply. Come end of September, everything must be on track when it comes to the 2.5 million cash payment, which is done by CPS. We don't want to court and ask for a further extension of CPS, because the court is going to hang us. So we don't want to do that. We want to respect the court, but also we want to be responsible citizens in this country. The issue of the payment, I want to clarify. Those who continued to get their payment through the commercial bank, we'll continue to do that. We are not changing them. Those who continue to get their payment through the merchants, which is your Boxer, Checkers, they will continue getting their money through that. Those who get their money through the cash payment, which you are referring to, if it's a haul, they'll continue get, I want to assure the committee, they will continue getting their money. Nothing has changed. Nothing. There's no new mechanism which has been put in place to replace that. If there's a new mechanism, we will explain it. That's where we are. So payments are going to proceed in that way. But as I say, we're human beings. We have our own vested interest. We will do other things, because that's what we are saying. Chairperson, we want the name of the person, but not only that. We are going to investigate all these issues in the Eastern Cape. In pay points, it's unacceptable for people to be told to go and open bank accounts. I know for a fact, I've done my own rounds when to the pay points. There are people who said to me, we don't want a PIN number. We don't want what, a PIN code. We don't want a PIN. We prefer the biometric. So we must allow those people to make their choices. And we are not going to change that. It will continue now, and I want to assure the committee, even in future, no one will be compelled to have a PIN number when they don't want a PIN number. And that's the message when I do the road shows I've been spreading. Nothing has changed. Where we are, we continue with that. With the 6 months of dealing with the cash payment, we will also make sure it does not affect our people. Where we are also starting to identify where you will have a merchant, you will have an ATM, you will have our pay point, you will have a post office. So as to see, within a particular radius, can we make sure that we start moving towards the merging, if one has to put, but not into banks, not into ATM, especially for our old people, elderly people, and our people with disability. We must make sure we don't make their lives different. And let me also explain. When we went to court and asking for an extension, we had already put mechanisms so as to make sure if the court don't allow us, gives us the extension, what are we going to do? We had come up with mechanisms of even being able to say in areas we were going to transport people, use buses, mobile, to make sure that they are able to get their monies where necessary, where it was relevant for them. So we have not changed or affected the payment which has been going on. What I can also allude to, Chairperson, is that the issue of queues, it is a challenge. And I must say it's a challenge. And I think it's something which has been going on. I've been to pay points where you find that the pay point, it's a small hall. There are no facilities. The queue is so long. It's not even about the length of the queue. They get hungry. They are exposed to the sun. And I was saying when it's raining, what happens to those people? So these are some of the issues. I must say they are a challenge. We are going to address them. But we can't say now, because we have to come up with a clear plan. And part of the plan is to make sure that the queues themselves, how do we eliminate the queuing? How do we make sure that it comes to an end? It will form part of the models which we'll be coming up with, even going beyond the 6 months which we've been granted by the court. But definitely the queues are there. We'll also have to investigate the issue of systems. The systems are down. We know sometimes these things are done deliberately. I must also say when I started, one of the things which I came across is that in the process there were people who will take 10 rand from the beneficiaries. You know, so people were, I mean, there's been an abusive approach when it comes to the various pay points. And the issue of, I agree with you, Honorable Masao. If we ourselves are going to say people must go to the banks, we are correct. Are we going to pay the bank charges? We're not going to pay the bank charges. That's why it must be a choice. If somebody feels comfortable that I've got my account with Absa and I'm comfortable, don't tamper with it. We must give that person the right to make that choice. But for us, we also must make sure people who don't want to go to the banks, we give them that option. It's their right not to go to banks. So if we have officials who are encouraging our beneficiaries to go to the bank, we've got to address it, and I assure you, Che, we'll address it. We're having the regional managers coming, acting CEO, they're going to be here. But they're going to come. They'll be here because we're launching the card swap in Worcester. So they'll be coming. We'll all be there because we're all learning. So we'll address this matter and we'll make sure particular problems in the Eastern Cape that are addressed. But we'll also have to deal with the issue of systems are down. What do we do when systems are down? Do you just watch the people and say systems are down? And I agree with you, Celiwe, we can't afford to undermine our people. So we really have to address the issues which you've raised. But get a shot, the suspension of the tender has no impact on what has been going on. Status quo remains. Until we are able to go to court and say these are the changes which we are going to, we are effecting. We don't want to tamper with the 2.5 million as because that's where we have a court order and we must comply with the court order. Part of it is to make sure we are not taken to court or litigated because, as you know, we are in court because the previous company or that process was invalidated by the court. As we speak, we have a 6 months to get rid of CPS. So we can't go back to court and say we have CPS. I'm not prepared to be in that space. So we have to work in a way that makes sure that we comply with the court order. And I want to assure you, we are going to comply when it comes to cash payment. We will comply. We will make sure our beneficiaries don't suffer. And we are not going to push our beneficiaries to go to court. But I must also say, the challenge we are having, because I need to be fair and open to the portfolio committee. You know the story better than me. You were there. You understand the story better than me. We had NetOne, and then we had Greenroad, we had CPS, and we know that this is a family. But what has happened, as we move towards our first payment last month of the cash payment, Greenroad, because it's the one which dispenses, deals with the money, they started charging 10 rand. So you will hear, even the beneficiaries, there's an extra 10 rand. We are challenging that because we never agreed that they must pay themselves 10 rand. So we are challenging that. Even if you're reading the papers, we've told our beneficiary, but we are not just saying it's okay. We are challenging because there was never an agreement about Greenroad charging our beneficiaries 10 rand. So I thought I need also to say there is that 10 rand. But there's no agreement for Greenroad to charge them, to charge 10 rand. And I think the other issue which I also need to say to the committee, because I don't want you to read in the papers, because papers have a way of writing their stories. Where we are right now, Greenroad has an agreement or an arrangement with Treasury for 3 months to do or to facilitate the cash payment. Greenrod, not ourselves as SASSA. We don't have an agreement. It's an arrangement between Greenrod and not CPF, Treasury. CPF, for now, we are in that space of the 6 months with the court, where the court, when we go back to the court in September, we must not go to court and say CPF is still around. We must be able to tell the court CPF is gone. That's the space, that's what the court expects from us. No CPS. But the Greenrod, because of the transaction, because Greenrod is like a bank, that is why we would not have had a facility where money which goes to a facility for payment. That's what I thought I need to indicate. We have Treasury has an agreement of 3 months. It's April, May, June. They were very clear, 3 months. So what it also means for us as SASSA, we've got to make sure within these 3 months we're able, together with Treasury, with whoever is there, to come up with a clear plan. If Treasury comes back after that to say, we must say, Treasury, this is where the money in ensuring that our beneficiaries are not going to be affected. This is where the money must go. So I thought I also need to clarify that space of Greenrod, which is charging 10 rand. It's not our mandate. It's not us which said they must charge the beneficiaries, because they are negotiating or they are talking to Treasury about payments and all those kind of issues in terms of covering their costs. So I thought, Chair, unless there's an issue which I have not covered, but definitely where there are computers, where our beneficiaries are not properly treated, and my view is that they must not only respect you as the chair, they must respect any other citizen who is concerned about the beneficiaries. They must listen to everyone who's there to raise concerns around the services rendered by our officials. Chair, I want to assure you and the committee, we are going to deal with officials which continue to undermine our people. We are also going to deal with systems which are down, because we know it's done deliberately, the story of systems down. And coming to the point you are raising about new beneficiaries, new applications, we've also put in place mechanisms that they must not just wait for the day of payment. They must also use the SASSA offices to register when it comes to new applications. They must not just wait for the payment day to go, but they also can go to any SASSA office to register, so that then they don't have to be there to register, but also wait to get the money. Use any other day. They must use any other day to register. It must not just be on the day when payments are made, because it will also prolong the queues. We are looking into the queues. And lastly, may I also say, together with SASSA, I am new. Some of the things I'll be saying might be out of 10, because I'm also trying to understand. I might say things which then the officials might say, "Hi, Minister, what you've said, it's a problem or cannot be met." But what I want to say is that we will look at areas where there are long queues, so that to say, what intervention do we put in place in making sure we don't find people going there and having long queues. Lastly, I was not aware, but I'm also learning as I say. I'm aware that, which I think it's also part of advocacy from our side, awareness program, when our beneficiary get their monies, they normally get a date on the slip when to come back. But some don't look at the slip. They just go, and then they hear, "Kukhola ngeyi two." Then they go on the second, only to find that it's not their day. It might be some of the challenges to say, then say, come next, you know, like, and they, because they want their money, they do come, but it's not their day. So I think with the communication, we really have to go on overdrive in making sure that people don't waste money going and then coming back tomorrow and the other day, so they know. And the last one is also to be able to again, from a communication point of view, be able to say, for this pay point, these are the days. You know, if it means we must utilize what we do in my organization, loud hailing, we might have to go into that space of loud hailing prior to the days. And also remind people, check your sleep. When are you going to? When are you supposed to get your money? So I'm just saying, I might be wrong. The officials are here. If I say wrong things, they will come back and say, "I'm Minister Loishi, Logo Portfolio Committee." It's not practical. But I'm just saying, trying to make sure we really make sure we use all methods in making sure our people can get their money timely without any frustration. But those who do wrong things, rest assured, Chair, we will take action. We are not going to allow that. It's just unacceptable. We know the plight of our people, so we can't add another burden on them. You know, when I went to one station, whilst in the process of observing what was going on, an elderly person collapsed, and she had to be rushed to the clinic. So it's not right. It's painful. We all know. Even ourselves, we don't want to stand in long queues. Why then should we make our vulnerables to stand in long queues? So I agree with you, Chair. We really have to address it. If people are treating our beneficiaries wrong, they're in the wrong space. They must look for another job, because it means they're employed in the wrong space. Thanks, Chairperson. Unless there's any other point.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think we must move now. There was no presentation. We accept that there was clarification on issues, especially on the issue of the transitional period. But fortunately, because the minister is going to leave at some stage, it actually has covered the entities as well. I'm afraid, Honorable Fanermesbe, you are late, and we are rushing to start now the presentation. Can I allow, therefore...
Sorry, Chairperson. I think I did submit my apology. Our former Minister of Social Development, the Honourable Batabile Dlamini, is appearing at Women, where I'm also a member, so I'm trying to run between both meetings today, so I apologise for arriving late.
Thank you very much. We did welcome you, because you sent your apology very precisely. Can we allow the member now?
Thank you, Honourable Minister, Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present.
It's a big hall. Please bring it closer to you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you the annual performance plan for the Department of Social Development for year 18-19. We have prepared a presentation in terms of what we are going to do this financial year, starting with the strategic overview of the department. There is a slide that looks into our vision as a department, as a caring and self-reliant society, as well as we have covered also the strategic objectives of the strategic outcomes of the department, which is one, reforming social welfare sector and services to deliver better results, improve the provision of ECD early childhood development, strengthening community development interventions, deepening social assistance to expand access to social security and strengthening coordination, integration, planning, monitoring, and evaluation of services. We have then aligned these strategic outcomes with the strategic objectives of the department in terms of the programs, from Program 1 to Program 5. And thereafter, then, we looked into the actual APP for the current financial year. In the interest of time, I won't go to the strategic objectives because I'll be going to them in terms of what we have prioritized for the current financial year. I will zoom straight to the actual annual performance plan for the year. We have 62 targets that we have prioritized for the year, and then from Program 1 to Program 5. In terms of the next slide on administration, which is Program 1, the strategic objective is to provide the strategic support and corporate services by 2019, which is what we are going to do this current financial year, is the implementation of the key elements of the sector human resource plan and facilitate the social development participation on the 8 international engagements. We also want to ensure integrated planning and performance management by 2019, which is the establishment of NISIS, which is the National Integrated Social Information System. That is the development of the system in terms of its governance framework as well as enhance existing data sources. Annual assessment compliance of the entities to the entity governance and oversight framework, as well as conduct the evaluation on the program Mikonso. And then last, in terms of the good governance and effective financial management by 2019, what we want to aspire in 2018-2019, unqualified audit report in terms of our annual financial statements. On this slide, honorable members, is the slide where we have then looked into the annual plan and then the quarterly targets. May I skip that slide because it focuses on what will be delivered per quarter as we come to the portfolio to report a progress. And then may I go straight to Program 2? Program 2, our strategic objective is to extend the provision of social assistance to eligible individuals by 2019. We have our targets there in terms of all the grants that are received by our beneficiaries through SASSA, as well as the number of the social relief of distress applications that are awarded, which is SRD. So we do have the projections in terms of the current financial year, which is Program 2. And then in terms of Program 3, which is Social Security Policy and Administration, the strategic objective is an effective and efficient social security system that protects poor and vulnerable people against income poverty by 2019. So what we want to achieve this year is to ensure that we submit the draft social assistance bill to Cabinet for approval, draft policy on the universalization of the child support grant, as well as draft regulations on Social Assistance Amendment Act promulgated. This is what we want to achieve this year. We also want to submit the policy on mandatory cover for retirement, disability and survivor benefits to Cabinet for approval, and also submit policy on voluntary inclusion on informal sector workers in social security to Cabinet for approval. The next slide looks into the quarterly targets based on what has been presented. And then we move to Program 4, which is Welfare Services Policy Development and Implementation Support. The strategic objective is to strengthen social welfare service delivery through legislative and policy reforms by 2019 So this year what we'll be doing is to submit the white paper on the social welfare to Cabinet for approval. Honorable members will remember that we are busy with the white paper, we're almost towards its completion. We want to develop an implementation plan for demand and supply model for social service professionals, and we also want to monitor implementation of recruitment and retention strategy for social service professionals. We also want to submit submit the bill to, just hold on. In terms of the social service practitioners bill, that's the bill we want to submit to FOSAT. The bill. I beg your pardon. I'm back. My apologies, honourable members. I pressed the wrong button. Yes. We want to submit the social service practitioners bill to the forum which is FOSAT. For approval, we also want to conduct older persons parliament and active aging program. And these are the quarterly targets in the next slide. And then the next part in terms of the strategic objective for this program, we want to strengthen child protection services and improve quality of early childhood development services by 2019. We want to monitor the implementation of the National Integrated Plan on ECD policy. Members will remember that we did develop this policy. So this current financial year, we want to monitor how provinces are implementing this plan as far as ECD is concerned. We also want to ensure that we get the approval of the National Plan of Action for Children in South Africa by 2018. We want to monitor the implementation of the Children's Act and also want to submit the Child Care and Protection Policy to Cabinet for approval. And lastly, we want to ensure that we develop a uniform implementation guidelines for provinces. We also want to capacitate all the provinces, 9 provinces, to implement the guidelines and strategies for adoption, foster care, and child and youth care centers to develop the intersectoral protocol. And lastly, what we want to do, we want to ensure that we build the capacity of 9 provinces to implement active teenage parenting program. The next slide, it focuses on the quarterly targets. And then still on program 4, the next strategic objective is to reduce the incidences of social crime, substance abuse, and facilitate the provision of support services to target groups by 2019. So for this year, what we'll be doing is to capacity building in 9 provinces to implement the reviewed policy framework on accreditation of diversion services. We also want to conduct awareness programs, campaigns in 9 provinces on multidisciplinary integrated social crime prevention strategy. We want to submit the bill on support services to FOSAT and also submit the reviewed South African Integrated Program of Action that addresses the gender-based violence to Cabinet for approval. The next one is also to submit the draft anti-substance abuse policy to Cabinet for approval, as well as submit the National Drug Master Plan to Cabinet for approval. And then the next slide is the quarterly targets. And then lastly, we want to contribute to the reduction in HIV and risky behaviors and promote psychosocial well-being amongst targeted key populations by 2019, want to develop a draft integrated action plan to respond to social and structural drivers of HIV, TB, and STIs. And then we have the quarterly targets as far as this performance indicator is concerned. And then the next one is to promote, protect, and empower persons with disabilities through the development and implementation of legislation, policies, and programs. So this year, we want to submit the draft policy on social development services to social protection, community, and human development cluster. We also want to ensure that the National Strategic Framework on Disability Rights Awareness Campaign is submitted to Cabinet for approval, and ensuring that one compliance report on the implementation on the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities and one periodic report is submitted to the United Nations Commission on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, that is submitted to Cabinet for approval before submitting to the UN. We also want to develop disability rights information portal phase, which is a mobile app. The next slide is on quarterly targets. And then we move to Program 5. Program 5, we want to facilitate management and coordination on cross-cutting functions for the Department of Social Development and the social cluster. So by 2018-2019, we want to develop an EPWP social sector phase 4 plan. The next slide is a quarterly target for that plan. And then in terms of the next strategic objective, we want to promote and support the implementation of the population policy. This year, we want to produce 9 reports on the implementation of the white paper on population policy and the International Convention on the Population and Development Program of Action. We want to finalize the draft policy paper on demographic youth dividend. The next performance indicator is the number of progress reports on the implementation of the white paper. This one are the quarterly targets. We move on to the next strategic objective, which is to create an enabling environment for NPOs to deliver effective services by 2019. 2018, this year, we want to facilitate the implementation of the Department of Social Development sector funding policy. We want to facilitate the implementation of the NPO partnership model, as well as submit the NPO bill to Cabinet for approval. These are quarterly targets. And then the next one is to facilitate and coordinate community development efforts to build vibrant and sustainable communities by 2019. We want to facilitate the implementation of community development practice policy, facilitate the implementation guidelines, facilitate Operation Pakisa delivery lab on social transfers contribution to local economic development, as well as the implementing the program Migonzo. We also want to facilitate and coordinate community development efforts to build vibrant and sustainable communities. So still on community development, we want to facilitate the implementation of social development youth policy, facilitate the implementation of social development youth strategy, and ensuring that 1,000 youth participate in the national youth camp, as well as submit the policy framework on the management of community-based workers for approval. And the next slide, our quarterly targets. And then the last part of the program 5 is the contribution to poverty eradication and elimination of hunger through support to community-driven programs and the provision of food and nutrition security services. The target is 1,000 cooperatives linked to economic opportunities, and also to develop a developmental model for CNDC's community nutrition and development centers, assess the implementation of the integrated food and nutrition security plan, as well as ensuring that this year 415,000 vulnerable individuals access food through the CNDCs. And these are the quarterly targets. And then the next slide, they look into the budget allocation of the department to implement the work that has been presented. I'm not sure, Honorable Chair, whether we'll continue.
Morning, Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, and members. The budget allocations for the 18-19 financial year as follows. Our budget has been increased since the 2014-15 year with an average of 7.5%, going from 172 billion to 200 billion in 2021. Just with regards to the allocations and the baseline increases and reductions, members, our budget has been increased with 345 million. And that was with regards to the increase of to make sure that we compensate for the taxation increase. And then also with regards to issues around operating leases, information technology. Baseline reductions, 630 in 1819, 630 million in 1819, 131 million in 1920, and another 138 million in 2021. Obviously the biggest there's a 500 million reduction in the grants allocations. And then the National Development Agency, 30 million over the MTF. And then Social Reef of Distress, 273 million over the MTF. In terms of the allocations for the department per program, administration, is 383.2 million and it grows to 431 million in 2021. Social assistance, mainly the grants, 162.9 billion. Social security policy and administration, 7.8 billion, and members must remember this is where the transfer for SASA is located. Welfare services, 1.2 billion. And then social policy and integrated service delivery, 392 million. Total budget, 172.9 billion. And the increase on the budget, 7.59 million, as indicated earlier. With regards to the economic classification, our compensation, we can see there's only a minimal increase of 490 million for 18-19. Goods and services, and this relates to the department, 399 million, and the increase 3.3%. In terms of our transfers and subsidies, we see a growth of 7.6%, and the biggest relates to transfers to municipalities of 36%. Foreign governments and international organizations, 60%, and there's a non-profit of 16%. Those are the big increases on our transfers. detail of the wage transfers, then the, as I indicated, the biggest are the HIV and AIDS organization. There's a 24% increase. The ECD conditional grant, there's a 54% increase. And there's a substance abuse conditional grant, 24% increase. With regards to the programs, Program 1, we see a 7.93% increase over the MTF. In terms of Program 1, budget allocation per sub-program, Ministry 37.9 million, Departmental Management 70.7 million, Corporate Management 151 million, Finance 67 million, Internal Audit 15 million, and Office Accommodation 40 million. Members must also remember within this allocation of 383 for Program 1, there's actually 112 million, which relates to services for office accommodation, government vehicles, audit services, and communication services. And those are costs that it's related for the entire department, but we have to put it under Program 1. In terms of the economic classification for Program 1, compensation, 197.8 million. Goods and services, 180.6 million. Social assistance, this relates to the grant payments. The old age grant, 70.5 billion. War veterans, 2.3 million. The disability grant, 22.1 billion. The foster care grant, 5.1 billion. Care dependency, 3.1 billion. Child support, 60.6 billion. Grant in aid, 1 billion. And social relief of distress, 410 million. See, the, as mentioned earlier, the 500 million that was reduced, and then also the social relief of distress over the MTF, 273 million. Program 3, 5.4% increase over the MTF, moving from 7.8 billion to 8.7 billion in 2021. In terms of the sub-programs, Social Security Policy Development, 77.4 million. Appeals Adjudication, 37.9 million. Social Grant Administration, at SASA, 7.6 billion. Social Grant Fraud Investigation, 65 million. And then 4.8 million for program management. In terms of its economic classification, we see a huge reduction, and that's where the baseline reductions, as mentioned earlier, came through. There's a 22% decrease in goods and services for this particular program. Program 4, Welfare Services, 17% increase of the MTF. In terms of the sub-programs, service standards, 31.3 million. Substance abuse, that's the big increase, 90.6 million. Older persons, 20.2 million. People with disabilities, 30 million. Children, 573.9 million, and that relates to the early childhood development grant increase. Families, 9.7 million. Social crime prevention and victim empowerment, 65.1 million. Youth, 14.4 million. HIV and AIDS, another increase, 18%, 121.6 million, and that relates to the administration fees for SENEC. Then social worker scholarships, 323 million, and program management, 4.1 million. In terms of the economic classification, we see a 0.4 decrease in the goods and services budget, so definitely no growth in terms of our goods and services. But your biggest increases in terms of the transfers, we see 1,558, and that's your ECD, your conditional grant, and your substance abuse treatment center conditional grants that make up that huge increase. Non-profit institutions, and that relates to the SEDEC, and then the 21.7% increase overall. As mentioned, the conditional grants, you can see the ECB subsidy expansion, 412 in the current financial year, and grow to 464 million in 2021. The maintenance grant is 78.7 million in the current year, and it will grow with 10 million to 88.7 million. The operationalization of the substance abuse centers in the Northern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Eastern Cape will cost us 70.8 million in the current financial year, and it will grow to 78.9 million. Social work employment grant, it's 196 million, and will grow to 226.9 million in 2021. Program 5, a growth of 4.1% of the MTF, and in terms of the sub-programs, really little growth happened in this particular program. Social policy research, 5.9 million. Special projects and innovation, 10.9 million. Population policy promotion, 34.5 million. Registration and monitoring of non-profit organizations, 37.4 million. Substance abuse advisory services and oversight, 6.2 million. Community development, 91.1 million. The National Development Agency, 202.5 million. And program management, 3.4 million. In terms of the economic classification compensation for the program is 80.2 million. The goods and services, negative growth of 7%, 46.4 million. Then the transfers, departmental agencies, 202.5 million. The NPOs, 32.3 million. And the households, 27. Thank you, Jefferson.
Then the whole presentation has been finalized, the programs as well as what is budgeted for them. I will open the floor for the members. But I also want to inform the members that we requested that we be allowed not to go to the House, the plenary. Because we have to finish due to time constraints. That has been approved. So we are going to continue with our work. So can we actually engage with the acting DG as well as the CFO on their presentation? But there's one thing that has been in the committee all the time, that we as portfolio committee would want to see some reduction in, Honorable Minister, in duplication on the outreach, because the disadvantage for us and the cost effectiveness is during this reaching out to our communities, and national employees participate fully there probably for a week, but that goes with cost in terms of the S&T, the traveling, and so it happens many times. For example, you still have ICROP on the other side. You still have Imikonzo. There is Imikonzo, there are other child week, child protection week that will go, say, in Bulwa for 5 days. So all these seek to connect the department
with the beneficiaries and the communities, which is very good, as well as interacting with them. But probably it's very costly and it's repeated, but it doesn't really yield a change where there has been this a comprehensive, like if you go to deterrence, the matters that we saw in deterrence, there's nothing that has changed. Even that pregnant, a 12-year-old who was pregnant by 40-year-old, there was never a case. So you stayed there for a very long time. So I'm asking, Honorable Minister, whether there is no duplication in this arrangement. Your ICROC, your Child Protection Week, whatever outreach, you then go to the elderly. You also have all these, including your games, golden games. But seemingly it's the same people that attend this. It doesn't spread over, spill over. It doesn't make any significant change amongst them. So we had raised this, that please, CFO, to an extent that when you need to go to these meetings, going out to outreach, you still have to sometimes transfer deviation. Promote deviation by funding this, and how extravagant you can see there, your big tent as if a president is coming. It even have a carpet there. You know, even if it's in a deep rural area, but the tent itself, the amount of food, to an extent that minister was saying, maybe our oversight role will work. If there is a business plan provided for a particular outreach, that this will be transport, this will be food, this will be tent, so that we can be able to evaluate in engxaki lo ndawo leyo. I thought there would be mention when you were presenting the budget. It shouldn't be as if there were no concerns raised around that. The incident that, is also part of what I've said, linking us directly with the communities. But when are you actually rolling it out? Sometimes you receive very good reports where you can see SASSA card holders, those who are under incident, making it very well in the final results of a matric 12, but it stays in one place. There is no sign whether it will ever be rolled out. If so, how? You can't be continuing to say to people there is a carrot somewhere there. It's very nice to eat it, and if you eat it, you grow fast, but it never reaches you. You always wish to do so, to have it. So I think there could have been a way of saying, we'll roll out this particular pilot. Then these other outreaches are a little bit of a challenging. And you know that most of your overspending, what AG complains about, you know it is there. In your audit reports, it's there, and the latest one is not beautiful at all. If reports can be looked as a face, they are not. The consequence management of when these things do not go well, the consequence management has been said to be the worst one. And these actually overspending and so on. And lastly, the issue of the central, this food matter, with so much big budget, CNDCs, linked with integrated food security. But in implementation, you are really miles apart.
those who manage food security integrated, as well as those who deal with food. And I think we were somehow not very much taken on board, Minister, on the issue of cooked food. We were not aware as this committee, and we didn't expect it that our own people, when you talk of even elders, you say active what?
Aging.
But you still give people, and actually empowering people with disability to engage in economic activities, to be self-sufficient, but you also give so much money to cooked food centers. And while you also say it's nutritious food, you don't see where these recommendations come from that are saying if you cook them this food, they will be better off, diet balance. There are no specialists that deal with this, and this is not having really, really good control. I would want the department to really respond on the issue of how did they spend this so much? There was a lot of money that had to do Nalendo. I think members, we went to Mbumbulu. We went to Camperdown, where we found in one station that they were arriving on that day. And they pretended as if there was food cooked. And when we went into the kitchen, there was nothing. When we went into the fridges, there was no electricity. But they said they have been there, and there was a chair there who really seemed to have been there for a long time, but only to learn later that they were somewhere else and migrated before our arrival. And also, I know the honorable member was worried that she actually saw elders and other people eating without a single child. So it didn't seem that it's community. It seemed that there was just food and people invited there. We also went to Free State, you will remember, honorable members. We were not happy. But as we were not happy, we gave you an opportunity without any further criticism that please improve on this nutrition, whatever food. But I think it requires that before we go to Parliament and say, indeed, sifake umnwebeni, you deserve this budget for oku kutya inqaba likhona. Please, guys, let's know, why did you think ukudla kuyamoshakala? Can you really cook for someone who is in another village? Because when we went there, they said they showed us a long distance where the cooked food goes. And the traditional leader there, by the name of Chief Qhiliza, said we must also ask question, who is this man, what is it, on wheels? There's Mr. Food on, is it? Yes, he said, ask questions about Mr. Meals and Wheels, and who actually benefit from that, and how much does that that man, Meals on Wheels, get from that arrangement? I think, Minister, because we're trying to scrutinize this so that when we go get budget, we are clear it will help our people. So I think those are the issues that relate to our previous work, which have actually looked into the content of our previous reports and also looked into our various meetings and inputs in preparation for today. Honorable Eli, Honorable Abraham, there's a hand there. Kanyilefe or Mama Masango. Okay, can we?
No, thank you very much for the presentation by the acting DG, the department. Also, we appreciate that our minister has outlined some of the challenges that also during the listening period, because she's saying she's engaged in a listening period, and
looking at how things are going, that she's going to follow what is really happening, and also to be open to us. We really appreciate, Minister, that one, that you become open if things are not going well and so on. But I want to check here for this current financial year, 2018-19, Honorable Chair, what positive changes were implemented to ensure more consistent quarterly spending and performance of the department? And what changes are needed to ensure that quarterly underspending does not occur during current financial year? The second one, Chair, is what the Chair has raised, the issue of the food distribution. You know, really, Chair, I think you have talked on my behalf. You know that I was so not happy, you know, the way things went. How is the department going to outline and respond to the challenges faced by the distribution of food distribution centers of this food? How will the department maintain the sustainability of food for all programs? The plan, we see the budget, because you have an outcry to say that this year there is a challenge, we are not getting food, the others are getting food, you know, different centers may be complaining. Lastly, Chair, maybe I will come back because we have got other colleagues. I want to understand, does the department have a mechanism to conduct the impact analysis on its programs to assess their impact on the lives of the people? We see so many programs. Do you really have the mechanism to analyze and be confident to say to us, this particular program is making an impact in the lives of the people? I'm saying this because the Chair, we once raised this, Chair, to say that the Department of Social Development is no more welfare. There is a development in it. We don't see those beneficiaries, especially the young ones, reducing. Instead, they are going up because they are not linked to the programs that are going to empower them to be self-reliant, as the Chair was pointing to that particular era. We appreciate that we see this target of 1,000 we are going to link, but really, can we really say, since we became a social development, not social welfare, have we ever say these are the people that you have developed, they are now self-reliant? Because my thinking is that if we are to empower those beneficiaries that are linked to social development, we need to link them to the empowerment program so that they are in a position to be self-reliant. Because if it goes like that, maybe next day I'm not working. I will be going to social development. You know, a lot of new beneficiaries will be flocking to social development if there is no program, you know, targeted program to say that these are the people that you want to take out from the system to be self-reliant. And then maybe next year we get a report to say that these people were part of social development, but now they are self-reliant. Something of that sort. Is just to check whether you do have analytic tools to try and analyze that one and come up and see whether it does make an impact to the lives of the people. Also, on the white paper, I saw something here. We appreciate that the white paper, you said by the end of 2019 financial year, 2018-19, it will be tabled to the Yes, it will be tabled to the cabinet, and I think it will come back also to us to really look at it, because it's important. Thanks.
Thank you.
afraid he's going to be a very troublesome beneficiary. We immediately she's in the line, we'll have to respond. Mayor Abrams.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, we're all in line for the beneficiaries very soon. Yeah, we want to make sure that it's right when we get there. Yes, Chairperson, the Minister. Yes, mine is also in line what you've just awoken us now with the food. And I think we had a discussion when we did oversight the last time on mainly the preparation of the food. And the Chairperson actually challenged me, Minister, to cook some food because I mentioned that it's the way it's been prepared, the soya, and that's why the kids don't eat it, because we sometimes go on oversight and you see it's there, but it's been discarded because it's just not nice. So maybe we should consider changing the ingredients, being nutritional, but ingredients in the preparation. And I volunteered and said, I'll come up with a few recipes because in my own community, they are very creative. They still use exactly the same, but just the way they prepare it, and so that it can be edible for the kids to eat. If you cook it just like that, it's not very nice. That's regarding the food, Chairperson. Thank you. Minister, regarding the filling of post 95% envisaged to be filled, does this include all the acting positions in executive management position? We see in the CEO's office is a high vacancy rate, 8 out of 9. That is very high, and it's critical positions that needs to be filled. Also, regarding the bills, the presenter said that it will be submitted. Isn't there a time frame that we can at least monitor and see if it has been submitted on the time and in the date? Because it was very vague, just saying that it will be submitted, it will go to Cabinet and will be submitted. We're scared that perhaps you will just flood Cabinet and then Cabinet won't be able to cope with everything that goes to them at the same time. So maybe to just give us a breakdown. Then in terms of the appeals and adjudication, 37 million. How successful is the department with appeals, and what is the consequences if found guilty? I know I've asked many a times the consequence management of consequences of the manager if the, things don't happen, but again, what is the consequences? And then if the CEO can just also give me a breakdown of households on the economic classification, what is household? There's quite a bit of money there, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I just have two questions, and they relate again to what the Chair sort of raised earlier, and they go to the mine. I'm very confused by the targets themselves, where the target is to is to submit and to facilitate and to monitor. I don't know. I just don't know how that one can actually. Okay, that is the problem I have, because also the other question that I have relates to the budgets that are being put forward. For example, there is a budget for office accommodation that has been increased, I believe, and one has during the oversight been going to SASA and the department's offices. For example, I want to mention the office as an example in Utsolo, where the department and SASA were squatting with, I believe, the Department of Home Affairs or something. And the situation was so bad. I mean, they were operating out of those mobile things. The computers were not working, literally. They were sharing 5 to 6 even. Social workers were sharing an office that is so small with computers that are not working. And they say this has been happening since 1990-something. I mean, it's not even 20-something. It's like long that these people have been. I'm saying, what is this budget that keeps increasing? Where does it, which offices are we talking about? Just the offices in Pretoria and not the offices of the people that are actually doing the work in this mall, especially the rural areas, where people, the beneficiary was sitting outside, and it was scorching hot because there is no way for the waiting room. They were sitting at on a very dilapidated bench outside this mobile situation. And I'm saying, is it possible for us to be saying this money that is being increased for office accommodation, can it go to the actual offices where the actual receivers or beneficiaries of these services are receiving the service, Chair? And I'm very happy to see that there's some budget being allocated towards the social services professionals, employment and things like that, because that has been an issue that this portfolio committee has been dealing with for quite some time. And the last one, Chair, has to do with the the reduction of the social grant and social relief of distress, just to know why is it decreasing? Is it decreasing because there's no demand anymore and things like that? Just to know that. I just needed to know that. And the NPOs that are not being paid, I know this is happening in provinces, but I just would like to know what the National Department has to say about that, because if the money is being given to provinces and the NPOs are not being paid, what is the problem there? Does the department, does the National Department have anything to say about that? Thank you, Chair.
I think I needed to say that question to me on the targets. We should please define to us what is the target. If you're saying you have these, how many targets? Because what you have placed against that target is very different to other targets, if you read properly. And sometimes I'm afraid this issue of cut and paste is sometimes problematic, because you end up copying what was there without necessarily your own meaning to it. That can't be a target insofar as you can actually read. And secondly, one other thing CEO will answer to us is, what happened to the budget where you had service providers that could not start? You remember the Eastern Cape problem with the three service providers on the same issue of food, cooked food. They couldn't start, they couldn't supply, there was all these things. You remember that thing of Kraft-Reinet, which came up in the news, where the service provider was very bold, standing there saying what he was saying, that after all, this is a national, you can be appointed whether you are five in one town if you pass the requirement of the advert. But the people were not getting food there. You remember that lady there in Kraft-Reinet, where poverty is grinding, and that girl who was working with the child saying, I've been there to get my food parcel. Apparently food parcels were not received by many areas, and we don't know whether those people, as in the form of contractors, were paid, or what happened to those who didn't get food, because this went on for a long time. It brings me to one thing that the social worker, and it is to identify who is sick, who must get food, and then USASA takes it from there, that indeed the social worker has seen the means test. But I know that this is a ward committee's issue now, and councillors' issue, where people go to a great place and the names are taken, who must get the food parcel. And I'm very jealous, because that has nothing to do with local government. It has everything to do with social economic being.
to an extent that they fill forms that you will be getting a food parcel. The form goes, what if that food does not come my way? Because the form approves that there's a beneficiary. And the beneficiary remain there for months and months. And sometimes if you ask them, they say, no, there were many people in that ward. So they couldn't get over 3 months one food parcel. They ended up getting, that thing is very loose. And it promotes a very, very big hole for corruption. But I'm actually worried, who else must approve that I need food other than social development? Do I have to go to a traditional leader or a ward office, or do I go to SASA's office or social development and say I'm starving? I think there is a lot that you will be able to get of what I'm saying. Please respond to those. Oh, sorry. I couldn't want to do that. No, please take your time.
I'll be short and brief. I would like to look at your annual performance plan, page 45. When you look at the targets on anti-substance abuse, it is exactly the same over the MTEF period, over the three years. Let me just come to my question, because you just showed me that one. I am not going to repeat myself, because I think doctor presented me well when it came to our grant recipients. But I just want to take on the white paper. The white paper on social welfare. Page 45, the first one, at the right at the bottom. The white paper on social welfare. It was in our last financial year. And you were repeating it again this year. You're going to complete it this year, which is okay. So that is a target that you missed in the last financial year. But I'm pleased that it went through, because doctors correct to say, whatever's going out to cabinet, give us that breakdown, you know, with dates. So I'm not going to ask you, I won't take you further on that question. I didn't want to do finances today, but let me just ask these questions. When it comes to the compensation of employees under your economic activities, the department, I would like to know according to which organogram, because look, you've got compensation of employees right through. Minister did indicate to us that our post that's going to be freezed. So I think if you can't, if you don't answer here, at least we should have it in writing when you look at it. Then when it comes to the decrease, not the decrease, I want to speak to the employment of social workers. Like, we know that when it comes to the grant given to universities, that you are continuing now with second, third, and fourth year, because you're placing money now into, you know, to employ social workers. And I think it will be good for us to know how many social workers are you going to employ with that amount of money. You know, because we must measure it some way or the other. Then, when it comes to slide 19, we have ECD and all that, the policy. I don't see anything within this report of you when it comes to adoptions. I think Honorable Fanamerva missed it. And I told her there's something you're going to miss today. But I didn't want to tell her what. So I'd like you to speak, you know, why is it being left out? Then when it comes to the decrease, when it comes to the grants, etc., the question was asked. But I'm not sure, Honorable Chairperson, should social development answer it, or NDA, because there's a decrease in the funding to NDA too. And NDA is the development arm of our department. So I'm not sure whether you're going to answer there. But I must say to the minister, even if minister's not here at the moment, this report that you sent us the first time of the 18th of April was very untidy, minister. There was cut and paste. There was duplication. You know, you could see. But when a person look at the report that you gave us like today, you cleaned up your report, so we're happy about that. My last question is only because I'm not going to ask the other questions. We're going to still spend some time with you. My last question, within your annual report that you sent to us that was signed, there are no achievements of the department. And I think it's going to be important, Minister, because there were achievements with the previous Minister, that we just sort out that. Because we would like to know, because next year's elections, and we would like to know what are the achievements of this department. Because I can mention some, but I'm not going to do it. Thanks a lot. I'm not going to ask any questions.
Ndiyabonga Chairperson, ndibulisa nominister wethu, ndibulela ke nepresentation yakhe kusukela efikile. Apho ndizothetha khona mna ndizawubuza nje okokubana ingaba i-department zeziphi iplan enazo ukwenza ukuba sure okokubana bayaziachieva ii-targets zabo. Okwesibini, zeziphi changes ezifunekayo ukwenzela i-department iachieve i-targets ezo. Okwesithathu, kungabe banayo na iplan eqinisekisayo ukuba ayi-understandi ngekota xa bezoripota na. Okokugqibela ke Chairperson, ndizawungena kwindaba yama-food parcels. Indaba yama-food parcels ibuhlungu kakhulu. Ngokokubana ezi food parcels uthola okokubana azifunyanwa ngaba bantu kufanele uba babe bayazifumana. Uthola ukuthi zitholwa zitshomi, izihlobo, ii-families, into ezinjalo. Aba bekufanele uba babe bona bayazifumana, abazifumani. So andazi uba kungenzeka kanjani ipleni entle nje engenza okokuthi kuxhamle aba bafanelekileyo uba babe bayazifumana. Because andiqondi okokuba ezi food parcels zifanele ukutholwa nguye wonke umntu. Bakhona abantu ekunyanzelekileyo nesibabonayo kwi-communities okokubana akho apho bathatha ntweni khona, bayazihluphekela. So kufanelekile babe bayazithola ezo food parcels. Okokugqibela Chairperson, ndiye ndavaleleka kuleya session yokuqala ka-minister. Mna bendizoma nokubonga kakhulu ngendlela athetha ngayo uminister. But kuqala before ethetha bendithi ndizawuthetha engekathethi, ndizoba neso sikhalazo sabantu kakhulu kakhulu abantu basezilalini. Uxolo bandibuyele emva Chairperson wam. Abantu basezilalini ekufuneka okokubana babandakanywe kwii-banks babe bengenalwazi ngendaba ze-accounts. So ndivuya kakhulu ke xa esithi uminister, no, akukho nto eza kutshintsha, eza kuguquka. Abo bebesebenza ngalaa ndlela yama-paypoint, bebesebenza berholela kuma-paypoint abo okanye kooboxa okanye kuphi na, basazawuhlala kunjalo. And then abo bafuna ukurhola ezibhankini xa bethanda kuvumelekile, abanyanzelwa intando yabo. So ndiyabonga kakhulu minister, ndibulela nokutyhileka kwakho minister, ukuba open kwakho, ungabi ngqwabalala, ungoyikeki, sikhone ukufikelela sonke kuwe. Ndiyabonga minister wam, enkosi kakhulu.
No, Chairperson, thank you. Mine is only two questions under Program 4. Strengthening of Child Protection Service. My question is around the documents that the National Department will capacitate the province in terms of to monitor the guidelines of foster care. My question to you is to say, how far are you with our grievances in terms of the deadlock that the department is having with foster care? And can the department, maybe not in this meeting, tell us the court process, what has happened? Because the last time we sit on the foster care, it was last year November. I think the parliament was about to rise. So we never had a chance with you. Chair, maybe asking you to say this issue of a foster care is a human rights issue. We'll ask them that in each and every meeting, they must give us the report or the storyline about the foster care issue. I'm happy that they put it here to say they will monitor the implementation of it, including the issue of a divorce. We need to know how many divorce cases are we doing in this country, including the international ones, because I think that is where we relax most as this committee, or on the issues of divorce. Again, under the Child Protection Service, the document talk about child and youth care centers. We know after 1994, Sisconi, the government of the ANC came with nice youth, they are transformed youth care centers. We no longer call them state schools, you know, as secure care centers. We have in place of safety. But there's a lot of abscondment that is happening in the centers. There's a lot of secondary abuse that is happening in these centers. One is worried, what is the role of the multidisciplinary team? Are we having them? Are they functioning? Is the National Department do an oversight to check whether these teams are working or not? While we're there, let's talk about the professional service of social workers, the issue of funding in this professional service. Chair, it will be important that the department, not again in this meeting, maybe to present how do they fund this, because if we have a lot of secondary abuse in the children's centers, I'm worried about, do the social workers understand their ethics when they sign to the council, why they become social workers? The other question is the implementation of the Children's Act. The document said the department will monitor and implement the Children's Act. How are you going to do it? Because we know there are challenges in terms of this implementation, and you talk about 9 provinces. Which is the most province that do this well, and which is one of the least one in terms of the issue of the Children's Act? We know when we talk about the welfare service, the issue of Children's Act is like a Bible to those who are in social service. They must know it. So this is the kind of thing. The Program 5, the document talk about, which is a social policy, the NPO bill to the cabinet. Unfortunately, our term is ending. Chair, we have missed on this one, especially on the NPOs, because we know the challenges and the outcries that is happening on the issue of the NPO. But one will emphasize the department when they come in to deal with this issue of a bill. Can they go out there to touch, you know, those who are on the street that are dealing with the issues of a professional service or giving service to the department? Again, to the department, the issue of draft policies. since from 2014, there are these draft policies. The issue of person with disabilities is a draft policy. The draft policy of community development, how far are we with this? And again, coming on the issue of people with disabilities, we need to move fast on this issue because, Chair, we are not doing well. The department is not doing well on the issue of disability. Remember, even if on their structure, unfortunately, I don't want to go to the organizational structure. You know, we fought last time on the branch. They're taking it from the directorate to put it on a branch. We were reducing it. So maybe at least let the department tell us how far are they with these draft policies. Were they having a policy before? Because when you say you're having a draft policy, you're supposed to be saying you review. So it means that there were no police. So, no, Chair, that was my intake. No, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Enkosi, Honorable Sonti, ndiyabulela ukuba undincome. Ngithemba ukuba ndizawusebenza kakuhle, ndizokwazi ukunconywa ngaso sonke isikhathi. Thanks, Chairperson. Just to, I think the rest will be dealt with by the various branch leaders. I just want to pick up on some of the areas which I think are important. The NPO, there's a current evaluation. As we speak, the deputy minister said, let her go, I will remain. It's been dealt with, the NPO's evaluation. It was done by ourselves and DPME. So there's a draft evaluation. I don't know what will happen, but I thought maybe at some point, because I don't think it would be conclusive. It's just to come and share with you urgently what is happening in that space, even if it's not conclusive, but just to share what is the thinking. Agreeing with Honorable Mokhosi, it's true, it's because there are challenges in that space of NPO, because we still operate in terms of the NPO's, their past. We're not where we are in terms of democracy, but also where things are different. So I want to say maybe we must come and share with you, even if it's not conclusive, just to say what is the perspective around the NPO. The issue of divorce and marriages, the information of divorces and marriages, it's Home Affairs. We don't have competency around this matter because they are the ones who record marriages. But also they're the ones also who record divorces. That is why when there's a divorce, you want to change your surname. You go back there. If you marry, you go there to change your status. So it's part of Home Affairs work. We will not be able to give a clear answer when it comes to the issue of marriages and divorces.
No, I think maybe there was misunderstanding. It was the issue of adoption. Yeah.
I was going to come back to that to say we suspect you wanted to talk about adoption. That's adoption. So we're going to say, ask you. So I think the department will respond to the issue of the adoption. Maybe the department, the various managers can refer to that. The other one raised by Mokhosi, it's Honorable Mokhosi, it's the issue of draft policies, some which have been with us for a very, very long time. And I think Comrade Honorable Kelly
Honorable Teliwell raised also the issue of all these drafts which you worried about. That's exactly where we're in that space. Okoni, aye man, he's pushing. He wants, like, both to be there. So, and I've said we can't do that to cabinet because they've got to apply their minds. But also to say with the drafts, because we also have to recognize that our draft in line with the total strategy or approach of government, because some of the issues we have to look at, and I agree with you fully, if you were part of our meetings when the department was welcoming me and presenting, informing me, the issue of moving away from a welfare state to a developmental state becomes one of the critical areas which we really have to address, because if you look at the growth, economic growth of the country, and what we're adding, it's not balancing. So it's some of the challenges which we really have to apply our minds as we develop these policies. We're advancing the country instead of going to end up with a welfare state which then we will not be able to cope. So these are some of the issues I've raised with the department, which I'm not popular. I must tell you, honorable members, at some point I could see that some of the officials are going to beat me up for raising the issue of a developmental state. They just felt that, I don't understand. But I thought you are correct. We really have to reposition ourselves in a way that takes us forward as a country. The court process, I think I have a little bit, but I'll allow them to respond. Otherwise, I put them in when trying to explain it. But I know that there are issues of concern. And some of the law, I must also say, when you talk about Children's Act, this morning, Cabinet, we were dealing with the Child's Act through justice. So these are some of the things we'll have to look, work together so that we come out with a comprehensive or laws which are talking to each other more than acts which are not talking together, because there were a lot of concerns raised this morning when it comes to that particular area. And I agree that I think part of us, we need to say, how do we improve our recipients? Maybe that should form part of our new approach when we deal with the comprehensive social assistance and with a new plan in terms of social grants must include Batupili. It must not just be about administration. It must also deal with how are we dealing with our people in a sensitive way. So I thought these are the issues which I will contribute. I didn't want to ask a lot. I was also looking at achievements and non-achievements, and I think maybe I'm not so clever because I know there must be like this is what we've achieved, not achieved, all that, and I can't see it in our report. But I'm happy that for me, you're not offline. That we need to know. What out of 40%, these are the programs which we have achieved, but also to set aside, to say we don't need to go back. So I just want to say I agree with the committee, but the officials and the DG will respond to some of the areas. And I've also raised my concern, Chairperson, around the various programs, Mikonzo, Sibindi. I'm not yet detailed, but the little which I've received, I'm uncomfortable. I'm very, very worried. They know I've raised it. And I'm not going to mention someone. When I ask him about that, he kept on saying, we'll give you a report. We'll give you a report. I'm not going to say who's there. Can you give me an example? That we'll give you a report. You know. So I'm just saying, I'm on the same wavelength with yourselves concerning the Mikonzo, the issue of how much goes, the resources which goes into that. I am very much worried, because in my view it's that it's something which we'll not be able to give a breakdown, and at some point we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And the last one, which you have also raised, it's the cost implications. I mean, the issues you're raising about, I think what you're saying to us, we need to start thinking differently in a way that we can be measured in the programs we are in, because some of them we can, you can't measure us. So we've got to work towards being measurable. We might do little, but being able to be measured. Instead of doing big, we cannot be measured. And lastly, the point raised by Honorable Sonto. You know, the issue of giving to our relatives, our friends, it's such a big challenge. It's such a big challenge, not for social development, but for all of us. Because it's about honesty. So if I'm not honest, and I believe that because I'm a minister, my family cannot starve, therefore they will jump the queue. It's a big challenge. I don't know how are we going to solve it, but it's a big challenge for the country. We are not the same. I might have relatives who are unemployed, but I will say I will not compromise the principle of government because next to them there are others who are also suffering. So if I have to do work, I must consider all those things. So I'm just saying it's a big challenge. I don't have a solution, Honorable Sonto, but I'm just saying it's a big problem. And it's a cross-cutting issue. It's not about us. It's a cross-cutting. I mean, it also goes to when there's employment. Even in the private sector, where people prefer to take their own friends more than giving an opportunity to others. So it's a challenge for us as a country. It's a global challenge. So that's what I thought I would touch upon, Chair, so the members can respond. No, you are not members.
Yeah.
The staff can respond.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minister. That was really a mouthful. It's clarifying a lot of things. Can I allow there for the department? You will decide who comes first.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members. We will respond, maybe in the interest of time, not to be that detailed, but we can provide information, because it's quite a number of issues that have been raised. The first one, maybe in that order, I'll request Mr. Buthelezi to respond on the question that has been asked by Honorable Madlopa, that is there a mechanism to analyze and do the impact of our programs, because she is also responsible for evaluation, so there are impact assessment studies and programs that have been done by the department. He can share with the honourable members the programs, and then followed by Mr. Nechipale. A lot of the questions they are responsible for food programs, cook food, the CNDCs, and then followed by Ms. Ngumalo, and then lastly Mr. Tony, then the CFO will come last to on the issues of the COEs. Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, the issue of Graaf Reinet is not a social development matter. I think SASSA will respond better on that one. It doesn't concern a social development, the Graaf Reinet.
No, no. The department remains the core delegative. It's you who delegates to SASSA. And you saw that, and there was no consequence management on the issue of SASSA people doing that to our people, including how you actually monitor and evaluate their own procurement policies, which has been raised seriously by the OAG as well.
That matter is a sore point in many, many people, and we need to come up clearly. But also, Taban, please assure us, because we have raised this not once, when you respond that social worker was never an endless thing. I mean, this social grant, it said if you are unemployed, you have a child, the child must get a grant. There must be a process where you will be referred to back as to how far have you been able to come out of this situation. Instead, when you come to report us in your processes of accounting, you always say you have got so many now. Now you have increased them to 2 million. Now it means the whole, if you look into a village sometimes, it's 100% grant recipient. You look into a province, only a quarter is working. Others are living on the taxes of from those who actually are going to work. So we want to, that Honorable Madlopa has a question as to what tools have you in place to ensure that you can evaluate that we are making impact, are running away from a welfare state to a developmental state. I wanted to actually amend here.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and Honorable Members. Of course, social development, in line with what the National Department of Planning and Monitoring Evaluation has put in place, the National Evaluation Policy Framework, which as a department we are aligning ourselves to, and we also have evaluation plans that we developed that are in line with our priorities as they appear in the MTSF. So we do conduct various evaluations, and I think since 2011, since Cabinet approved the National Police Evaluation Framework, there's been various evaluations that we have conducted, and have led in various impacts in terms of informing the policy review, informing the trajectory in which we have to take outside the ECD diagnostic, which was done as well in 2011. It led, informed the work that was done until we have an ECD policy. We've conducted various ones. The impact of the child support grant, I hear you, Chair, speaking about that, is one major impact evaluation that South Africa has conducted, and unfortunately impact evaluations are hugely expensive. We did that to the tune of about 25 million with legal beneficiaries. In terms of December, it was about 2,000 or so, but the results from that are still existing and are still holding, and some of the works that has been done outside the department as well concur and confirm some of those. One is that as government, as we are giving these grants, we are making investment. For younger children, they remain in school, they've got better outcomes in terms of health, education, and so forth. And for us, in terms of these, what we are currently doing, the work that we are doing with matriculants, as we monitor them, that these child support grants make our children to remain in school, but also not that they remain in school, they do well and perform better as compared to their counterparts who are non-grant recipients. One of the things that we've been able to do to make sure that these children remain within the social protection measures, or they still receive some of the assistance from government, is that we have entered into discussion with NSFAS to make sure that as these children graduate out of the grants, they are able to get an automatic qualification. So our grant recipient matriculants, they have a pre-approval NSFAS, which is assured for them, so that they are able to be taken out of the system and make sure that they have, they are able to access funding as they are able to further their studies. I can share quickly that in the previous academic year, on the national top 20 of the 20 achievers, four of those top achievers were our children. Those have been receiving various department grants. And as the minister had said, we are prepared to come and share with you various results, various work that we have done. Among the 80% represented, it's only been the Mekonzo evaluation that has been highlighted. But I can put the committee into confidence that it's not only that evaluation that we'll be doing, we'll also be doing an evaluation of social crime prevention strategy in terms of how it's been implemented. We'll be also conducting the foster care program evaluation. We'll also be doing the evaluation on the food and nutrition security program, which the committee has been raising more often as we've been coming here. We'll also be doing an evaluation of the Older Persons Act, as well as the impact of the capacity building that the department and the NDA has been providing mainly to our non-profit organizations. So those are some of the work that we've been doing, and I'm sure there are some of the attempts outside us as NME that have been made in terms of making sure that there's link between beneficiaries of our social security to some of the economic opportunities. Another matter that I can just quickly respond to as well that was raised is about how do we make sure that we are able to meet our targets on a regular basis. So I can assure the committee that as NME, because we are responsible for the institutional performance, we do arrange and facilitate regular performance review sessions. In those review sessions is where we engage program managers and see what is it that we've committed ourselves on that particular period, and we are able to come up with corrective measures where a performance seems to be lacking or where achievements have not been made, and we are able to monitor that on a regular basis. I think that's how I can just conclude on those matters. Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you.
You are not coming closer to what the AG has said. In that document, the AG is very clear. There's no consequence management. There's this. There's instability. So you are not telling us what you have been assessed. But let's leave that for now and come back also to the issue that you are too far from reports like that of the United Nations, referring in particular to the child Children's Act, where the parents themselves are not feeding those children. And the extent of the malnutrition, the report has been out there by the United Nations that where these grant beneficiaries, a lot of children have now gone beyond. They are now emaciated, they are malnourished, they are stunted. And you can't say to us, the few that has been under ISBIND, they've done well. When we have a report by Department of Education that the foundation level is extremely, they can't write. That was clear. It's a South African report. So next time, do your work properly. Tell us the truth so that we can help by saying, how do we move forward? I think Belly was having a moment.
Really, thanks, Chair. You have covered me because I wanted to say, yes, we are getting a report that they are doing something, but it doesn't talk to the report of the Auditor General. That is saying there are no consequence management, you know, because you must indicate to say, yes, we are doing it, but there are still challenges, which is 1, 2, 3. Because as a portfolio committee, we are doing an oversight. If you talk like everything is like Christmas, you know, it means to say we must relax. Whereas we know exactly what is happening. That is not what is being reported, you know. But, Chair, you have covered me. That's why my hand was up, but you started talking. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. To an extent, that's covered. The Auditor General will actually tell you in that report that there's repeat. This finding was there and still there, and they say, yes. So I think we must look into that report and we find a way, because the Honorable Eliwe's question to you was, what tools, what do you have now to change the situation? So you were saying, like, you are right. You don't really need any other approach. This one is working. And we are saying up front, it's not working. Let's move to the next person. I won't ask you to say, because you still find another way. But now you are clearly against the wall. Let's leave you. Who is next?
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members and ministers. I'm going to answer, I think my the question is about food and the cooking and the NPOs. I should add, yes, I remember we were together in KwaZulu-Natal when we do evaluation. We implemented the model on food security where we provide cooked meal in 226 CNDCs in the country. National funds only 84 of those. The rest are funded by provinces. But we have got a guideline in terms of how it's supposed to be done. Our approach was we will provide food. We've got menus there. But as you are aware, in implementation, yes, you get a lot of challenge. We also get a lot of challenge, even this week, that you go to a place, you find that, in other phrase, the fridge is not working, they didn't tell us, and so something like that. But I think we acknowledge that. What we have done, we are visiting all these 226 CNDCs in a period of 3 months to check and to validate some of the things. We, in those centers, we have got menus. We don't eat soya meat every day. It's chicken this day, today. Remember, and the other day is soya. The other one is... it's a very well-designed menu that is designed by the nutritionists from the department. And also, we do an integrated approach where Department of Health also visits that centers. We are spending as national only 56 million for that for those, but the total amount is about 196 where the other provinces are implementing. I appreciate you will always get those things that are there. The second part of the food parcels, I think that the DG have raised, it is not us who implement the food parcels. The SASA is implementing it, and there are guidelines in terms of how it's supposed to be implemented. The other question was on the issue of NPO funding. We are aware of the problems, the challenges on at all nine provinces. Not all of them have got challenges. We are aware that some NPOs are funded late. We have developed a policy and a guideline for that purpose so that we should standardize. And I think together with Treasury, we are standardizing the funding so that NPOs in the whole country for DSD only must be funded appropriately, and they enter into one of the highlights of that, which we agreed with Treasury, is a three-year funding plan, that you know that in the 3 year you will be funded. What is required is just to do assessment and performances. We are aware of those. The other part which I wanted to say, I think Tabani have mentioned it, since we have implemented the Household Food and Security Program, we are doing an evaluation because of those challenges that we get, so that we can get, we are evaluating the program, is there any, so that we can determine whether there's anything that we need to learn out of it. On the impact part of it, we're working together with the Department of Health. If you look at the status A, the people that are at risk of hunger is now reduced from 34 to 26. And we're thinking that the little bit that we are doing, we have contributed to that. The second one is on the issue of the stunting, malnutrition. There is a little bit of a good news that we should say that we're thinking that we are contributing into that. If you look at the Northern Cape and the Western Cape stunting, it was a little bit high, but I think through some of these interventions that we provide, we can't claim it as ourselves, but I think through our contribution, little bit contribution that we have, including even the social grant, we can say that I think we are doing something. But I think the evaluation report on the food will highlight that. We are not denying that there's no challenges, especially you saw in Free State where they are not following the guidelines. But I think the minister said we will think, maybe we'll have to beat them up so that they can check their approach. Thank you very much.
I must actually say to you, I'm very disappointed because we can't continue like this. And as an oversight committee, we can't listen to people. You know, when you conduct research, there's time when a report is subjective because even your questions were in such a manner that you wanted what you want to get out of that. And particularly if it's funded by you, it can't give you a negative report. What we are saying here, that program is not actually operating. During the time, we have been very having a difficulty in dealing with what we saw. We couldn't sleep those days. You know what happened. You know what we saw. And to prove that there is no developmental approach, remember when we were in, after we slept in that mountainous area, we went to Harry Smith, is it Harry Smith? Where we met that manager, founder, where the members were made to buy cakes there, with the hope that they were baked there, but they were not baked there. We spent a lot of money buying, only to find that when I went to the actual baking area, there was nothing. And I recommended, when I came here, that please, let's see if we cannot assist with the baking equipment. Because when I actually talk silently with them somewhere, they said, no, it's because we don't have anything to bake. So now we then said, if we talk to the department to give them baking equipment, probably they will do something that was never funded because very little amount, less than 200,000, because it's not in your blood, it's not in your thinking that these people must be developmental. This approach, we can't condone this one. Honorable Minister, you have in your power to overhaul. This is very much, even third world countries now today, they no longer give people cooked food. Can you say the food is still healthy if you cook chicken somewhere and you transport it? And how many times are you going to transport this food? Why is it that you don't want to assist the beneficiaries to produce veg and you buy it and you give it to others who don't have land or are unable to produce? And then that will be double sword to say you deal with actually empowering economically from your beneficiaries, thereby reducing the burden on grant. But totally, if you go to Department of Agriculture, you are seen as the people who have got the biggest budget. I've heard them that, eyona yona budget ipha masithathe yona. Yet Department of Agriculture can't actually wafeyila amagadi. Ufelisa kukwenza igadi. And I was asking Mr. Nishipali, what about where there's water that never goes? We are seeing Galapa, there's a lot of water running. There's much land there in the valleys of those mountains. Why don't you allow those people to produce and then you buy? You remember when we went to Camperdown? We pinned them down. They said, no, sugar beans, ilungi, lana. Abantu bakhona wathi, yona nto ke siyidayisa kube lungu. You remember that the food they buy from wholesale, yes. They buy there in bulk instead of buying from the poor people. I am honest, Minister. Tina, we won't agree with your debater, Linda Bale, Eno Wenza Noguchi, Lendo Yefuyogupegi Weyo, Yeshulan Chikole, Seb Gulamando Ikole, and Sessis the Sinale Listialosis. Listerosis.
listeriosis, because listeriosis, because the food, the food handling is a serious matter in South Africa. We don't have enough experts in food handling. That is why we will always continue to have these outbreaks. Now, I think not unless this issue, I don't see the difference between giving them food or giving them a food parcel, but having to cook and give a person, human being who is working, who is just come and eat. Like those ones who came and eat, and I asked, why are you here? But I have to ask this all, like, who's off again? And there were no children. Parents only ran for themselves, and there was no child. And who, Honorable Kelly was saying, he went and the book is cooking. So, you know, we wanted to discuss this in very amicably in order for you to implement a change. We do, what, there's, you say how many millions? 54. And then the only thing you can show is improvement, which is not guaranteed has come because they have had good nutrition, if at all they had. And I would ask, how many kilograms of what? And how are they, what is the weight when they started to do this? That you can't claim, just claim that this has actually improved the cognitive development and the physique of the body and the health. That's the key point. That's the key point that we need to work on. Honorable Minister, we appeal. Lena yona yintlungu kuthi. There's also another aspect which is not working with Honorable with Mr. Nesipale. MGA. Now you know what? Agazi ukuthi akasebenze njani ukuthi ube khona indaba ye production. Mna I've just recently, because I believe in cauliflower, here in Cape Town, I bought one of this size. It's 30 rands. Mm. One gaga of this size, 30 rands. First time I couldn't buy it, and I say, maybe when it loses quality, I'll come and check. When I come, it's still the same 30 rands. Because that area is fresh. It's not changing any. I thought I'd find it in the combo. No, it was not coming, broccoli and cauliflower, because they have everything to do with cancer and other things. So it remains, but it's easy to produce. Mina Minister, our appeal is that lentole iyasihlaza, iyasibulala, to actually put in food and then measure how much has gone into your blood. It's something that you really put like diesel. Ufake diesel lapha ucheck ukuthi imoto sidle kangakanani. Can we then pass to the next president? Aile, it's not a matter. It's a matter that we need to have a presentation. Before we can go and say, alala, let's go on with this is the budget. That budget is misplaced, is misused, even the branch itself, because it falls under community development. And you ask yourself, how community development, how is it actually talking to community development in that manner? Next, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members and Minister. I'll try to deal with questions that are related to welfare services. The first one is the adoption that was mistakenly as a divorce. What I need to say to honourable members is that some of the operational matters regarding certain programs in details are in our operational plans. However, here we just tried to highlight the high-level targets that we can put to show that this is part of our mandate. For example, I can indicate that in terms of adoption, we manage the adoption register, as you may know. We already have 1,186 registered adoptions. We have 1,034 national adoptions and 152 inter-country adoptions. The committee will remember previous year they processed some amendments to the Children's Act. so that we clarify the definition of a social worker, because magistrates were refusing to take reports from our government social workers. So that has been resolved, and it has been gazetted this year in January so that it becomes operational, and we have capacitated them to be able to provide the services. We had some issues with the council in terms of their interpretation, but I think we're resolving that matter. Now, in terms of the foster care, I think honorable members are correct. We need to come and do a comprehensive progress report since the High Court order was issued in November 28th last year. That requests the Minister of Social Development to come up with comprehensive legal solutions to the problem, and also the provinces that they must sort out the systemic issues. Issues of tools of trade, issues of supervision and availability of social workers. So we'll be awaiting that invitation. So I won't go to details. I do have a court order with me if members so wish, but I think it will be proper if we put the court order into context and try to explain how we're implementing it. The next report that is due, court said we need to report on 6-monthly basis. The next report is due end of May, so we are busy now working on the report that we'll share with the minister so that she can approve that it is tabled accordingly. Then the ECBND, this is a program that we're implementing the past 5 years with the NACCW. Honorable members will remember we had specific targets for the time frame of the 5 years. So we have made progress. This is the final year. In fact, it has ended. Now we are rolling it out through the drop-in centers, because already we have facilities where we can reach more children. We said to ourselves, let's target better, because within those years, we only reached 1.3 million children. And in the CSG, for instance, it's already 12 million children. So it's just like a drop in an ocean. So we're saying, how do we better target so that we reach more children to be able to benefit from ECBND? Because it's one program that has yielded better results. If I can give you an example, in 2017, for example, we had 1,275 children who passed grade 12. And out of that number, 140 got distinctions. Because in the ECBND sites, that's where you assist with homework, with working with the previous question papers, drawing storylines for their family trees, because some of them don't have parents. So there's a lot of activities, and they are also given an opportunity to play. So I think it's one program that we can say it is evidence-based, and we have to roll it out. The employment of social workers. I think there was an issue raised to say, well, how then do we identify savings from the ones that are passing now? Because we're not taking new students. So now we are funding second year, third, and fourth. There are almost 4,300 that are in the system. And with the 181 conditional grant that was given to us last year, we appointed 567 social workers. And the backlog that we have is almost 3,002. So it's like we have done nothing, but at least we have appointed some. So I think myself and the CFO and Treasurer, we need to continuously monitor the savings, whether there are dropouts and when the completion rate, like we have an average of 1.5 graduates every year. So we can see whether that amount can be used to appoint a certain number of social workers on a continuous basis, because Treasury said the money that you have is not going to increase. All it's going to do is going to maintain the 567 in the outer years. So what the CFO presented is not new money, it's what is maintaining what we have already appointed. So we have to engage NASFAS on a continuous basis, because they are our implementing agent. In terms of monitoring of implementation of the Children's Act, yes, honorable members, we have challenges in terms of implementing this act to the fullest, because one, of capacity challenges, two, of social workers who don't understand by now the Children's Act itself. We visited one office where a social worker could not articulate a Children's Act, but that social worker is using the very same Bible to protect children. So we have discovered that we need to intensify, one, the master trainers in provinces, because there's a high turnover of staff also. As much as we have shortages, we still have movements of staff within the department. So that creates a challenge. That's why we have put it here as a target, so that we begin to monitor, so that provinces can say, these are the challenges, these are the problematic sections, because as you implement the law, you identify sections that are problematic to implement. Then cabinet matters, that's the last one. We do have a lot of cabinet matters coming also from last year and this year. So for my branch only, we have more than 10 cabinet matters. So I think what we need to do is to sit down and discuss how do we spread them over the four quarters, so that cabinet is not bombarded, but also it's something that, because one issue is this foster care, we need to make sure we push. We only have 15 months. We've already lost 6 months to table comprehensive legal solution in an act. And before an act, you must have the policy approved. So we have a policy ready that needs to be processed to cabinet, so that we can also process the amendments of the legislation that we need to introduce within the 15 months if we want to comply with the court order. I'm not sure if I've left something, though. The CYCCs, yes, we, in fact, the Children's Act itself speaks about the transformation of child and youth care system in South Africa. So I agree that there's a lot of abscondence, and also the minister, I think, last week already, she also gave an example of what's happening at Walter Sisulu. So I think it tells us that there's something else that we need to do right to fix what is happening in the child and youth care centers themselves, in terms of how can we make it work for our children, because it's not a permanent solution. It is made to be temporary, but also equip children so that they can face life be outside the child and youth care facility, if I can say. I think that's all for now. We'll be awaiting an invitation for foster care. I know we're owing you a progress report in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We always get a good report on a number of areas that in that particular section. And the issue of social workers have been well managed. But all I can really come to is the fact that because you have funds to give these bursaries, but you lack authority when they are being trained, particularly in the curriculum, because there's a divorced linkage with social issues. When they go to the university, they are like all other students, and without developing the part that distinguishes them, not only as professionals, they are really professionals. When they are professionals, they don't care about what is not in the law. For example, I remember very well when we were dealing with Utwala, they stick to one Section 84 or whatever that says you cannot take the child, not unless the parent agrees. Yet those parents had sold those children to men. But they stick to, they couldn't listen to them. That's where I understood that these people have internalized what is professional. We won't do what is not in the law. And I thank this portfolio committee, because since we came here, we're able to change that, to make an amendment that says an HOD has a right to remove the child, even if there has not been a court case, but provided within so many days the matter will be heard. But it saved a lot of children. And I think also the recruitment is unlike when you want to distribute people to rural areas, but the recruitment does not talk to those people who have lived there and who can go back there and have a feeling for those people.
I understand very well that there's nowhere where you place temporarily people to assess if they are what they are going to do when they have, this now has become another ladder to resources. But if you can look into the department's honorable minister, social workers are no longer social workers, they're managers. Many social workers we have lost into being managers. Even the department, they had department social workers, and they bring that attitude of them, thinking that they know the social problem before you actually tell them. I'll talk to the minister about someone I know who is very much educated on psychology and many other things, has got friends, but she is dying of actually psychological problems. When I ask the friends, no, I want the minister to talk to that person, is a professional. Yeah. When I ask friends, why is it that you can't talk to her? He said, no, she will tell you that she got masters in psychology,
yeah,
which prevent her to identify with the social problems around her and around his family or her family, because we should know whether he's a he or not. But definitely, if no help is coming, she's going to die. Die of problems that she has been schooled about. But because she believes so much that you know everything, the next time that a mother sees here, automatically they know all the problems. And if one said, no, my case, she said, no, we know that such cases are such cases. That's why I'm saying, Honorable Minister, I think we should distinguish. Yes, we can fund, but I don't know about the reorientation of those who are already in the system. I think we last had social workers who actually got into the struggle because they couldn't stomach what was being done in the name of social development. They just went out to fight because they were worried that our own profession is being undermined if it is done in this way. But those are today, they will always complain about how much they get and so on. But I also think, Honorable Minister, you will have to listen to your department for them to narrate how they are going to deal with this matter of accommodation and decency in terms of their own clients. Where you talk about your deep family issues, where there are many people listening to how you relate your story because there's no privacy. I think and these are family matters, husband, wife, girlfriends, children, but you can't deal with this in the presence of, what do you say? How do I say it when there are other people? When I leave. So I think that's a good report with the other things that we need to come back. As far as we got a sort of land, finally see got an abandon out there. How do we have now a new cadre of social development? I think we need to make it a question. Sekulula manje abantu can phone in. How do we expect social workers to be? I think that one we really support the report, and also the issue of how do we lose social workers. I think the Department of Health should be worried as to how do you get a professional nurse now working in construction. What happened to the consciousness that you had built that this is a person that we are empowering to look after the poor? You can't look outside and say, I'll get more money there, more, if you are fixed in your internalized norms and values about the health of the other people. So I think we need to do more on that area. We do have a good result. And I think also that amendment on managing abuse and the courts, that has been done very, very, very well. But we should all continue to make improvements around that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister. The question was around whether the policy on services to
Can we finish up before the minister leaves? Because we are inviting her to some sort of finger lunch.
I'll be fast.
So, kuluma na imasish. I'm here to share.
Whether the policy chair was being reviewed or it's a draft, the policy has been reviewed. Chair, you recall that the policy on services to persons with disabilities has to be aligned first to the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities, which was approved in 2015 by Cabinet. And then we had then to align again to the to the white paper on social welfare, so that those policies are aligned. So that's the process that stopped us from concluding with this policy. So that's why it's now appearing on the APP as you would see it. There was also a concern that there is some slow movement with regards to activating issues around disability. Chair, we have the policy on the rights of persons with disability, which was taken through the provincial councils by the deputy minister, and also we had capacitated the provinces in terms of understanding how to mainstream disabilities in the APPs in the provinces. We are now at the point where we have submitted the baseline report to UN, and they responded back with key issues, because there was a shadow report from the organizations, civil society organizations, that had raised their concerns in terms of that report. Now we are meeting with all the department ministers, requested that all departments should meet, and we have met this past week in terms of making sure that we respond to those key issues. And we're now expecting that the report will go through Cabinet, so that at least the department will be able to present it with all the key other departments that are supposed to present it in August. I think it's around the 28th of August where we're supposed to present this. The other issue that we are currently doing, as Connie has said and the Minister has said, that we can't bombard Cabinet with so many submissions. We have instruments that we are developing out of the policy, so that people are able to know when you talk about access or reasonable accommodation, there are frameworks that they are able to use to guide them to able to make sure that disability is mainstream. So one of those Cabinet submissions are also queuing, as I think we've got two, one on reasonable accommodation and the other one with the report that I'm talking about. So it would be six from Connie, two from me and the other colleagues. So we're trying to make sure that the minister would be able to process them and make sure that these are the ones that will go first and they will follow by this one. So that's what we are doing. I am convinced that as the department, as the secretariat for disability, as the Department of Social Development, because we are also supposed to report, we are trying to capacitate the relevant department so that we are able to report. We have done the periodic report, which was approved by Cabinet last year, December 2017. And we are going to launch it this year. And currently, we are preparing to develop the next report for 2017. The one that is already ready is for 2016. So these are some of the things that we are trying to make sure that the issue around disability and mainstreaming of disability remains current to the work of each department, so that they are able to respond positively in terms of what they are supposed to do. I think those are the things that I was supposed to respond to. Thank you, Chair.
La kuhamba kahle nje ukuba nje ningangakhulumi nodwa nje. The problem is themselves alone. And that policy is now being informed by them, themselves. They forget that they also interact and are integrated with us. Many a time, I once saw a building that was only relevant to them. So we could not walk there, because every other area was actually prepared for wheelchairs. And then I was saying, this is very dangerous, because you could have steps somewhere and then the wheelchair arrangement. But because they are very powerful in that department, everything suits them. Whether the others are affected positively or negatively. So that's why I think when you do these public hearings or awareness, or but please bring other people, because sometimes this issue of mainstreaming, Honorable Minister, when it is not done, they are unable to live with others. They just grow in an environment where they themselves do not want to be mixed. And I once went to those who are blind, and they were laughing at someone who was there. They grouped themselves and laughed. And then I asked from the teacher, they said, when your voice is hoarse, they think you are ugly. So they themselves, if your voice is not a nice, if your voice is nice, they say, hey, yes, it's beautiful. But if your voice, they think you are ugly. So I think the issue is that we should be people. That resolution was actually ensuring that we live as equals. And I was very embarrassed when somebody who was my mentor in master's degree, she was here at no feet at all. She was just on a wheelchair. We would never know what was happening with her lower part. But I tried to help her when she was giving me books. And she was said, what? What do you think you are? Because Mnandi Pizinjendi and them Fagwaki Ngoba keeping what in one good eye, Zizobanzim, let me help her. But she was very much offended. I had to make an apology. And the issue is we undermine unconscious.
With regards to the consequence management, and I think we've done quite a bit in consequence management in terms of non-compliance on the supply chain and financial policy side, I think we acknowledge that we need to improve in terms of the performance side also.
going forward. In terms of the consistent spending and the understand how we prevent it, I think Member Matlopa was asking this issue. And I think we've got our peaks where we spend in quarter two and three most of our budget, or the highest spending quarters. But over the year, during the year, we will almost try to spend consistently. But we've got particularly quarter two and three where most of our activities are happening. And therefore, besides those activities happening quarter two and three, the spending is almost like flat for those particular, the other quarter for the year. In terms of the households breakdown, in there we have the retirement benefits, we've got the grants and the transfers to SASSA, and then also the other issue is the food relief that we have in the households. And then the reduction in the SRD budget is something that we couldn't control. As for the slide with the color slide, those are the reductions that Treasury effected without consultation, so we didn't have anything to do with that. In as much as we fought, because that reductions was quite higher in terms of the NDA, they almost reduced the entire goods and services budget of the NDA. But we had to take that fight to Treasury to prevent that happening. I think those are the three issues from my side. In terms of the structure, we still use the interim structure for 2015. That is the one that's been funded at this point in time.
What are you going to do with these deviations that Auditor General has raised concern, as well as it has consistently been there? You remember the last time you even deviated from your core business to another business?
As I indicated, we've been dealing with, and we can provide a report with regards to those deviations and the consequences that to that effect. In the year up to date, we've dealt with most of the deviations and the consequences to the members. And the DG has been quite consistent in terms of the actions taken against the relevant officials.
Well, we will be looking forward to the report, because we can't do everything. Are you having something to report on? Or no, Sasa, we're going for lunch now. And we don't want to rush you. So can we have let's have lunch first. Whoever is going to come, let's have lunch first.
How long, Mama? How long?
Let's say 40 minutes.
40 minutes. Now what time is it?
Because there's also queue there when we take food. Let's try and be quick.
40 minutes is what time?
Oh. It's now half. It's almost 1:30.
Yeah.
No.
But it's 10:30. Is it early?
No.
Or 30 minutes? That's fine. Maybe we'll have finished. Maybe we'll finish earlier today. Oh. Okay.
Sure.